Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A new chief minister has taken oath in Kerala, marking a significant shift in the state's political landscape, and this development has far-reaching implications for the country's federal structure. First, let us look at the details of this event. Vadasseri Damodaran Sathisan, also known as VD Sathisan, took oath as Kerala's 13th Chief Minister on 18th May at Central Stadium, Thiruvananthapuram. What makes this significant is that Governor Rajendra Vishwanath Alekar administered the oath to Sathisan and all 20 ministers simultaneously, a rare occurrence in Kerala's history, with the entire cabinet being sworn in together for the first time in nearly six decades. The UDF, a Congress-led coalition, won 102 of 140 seats in 2026, ending two consecutive LDF terms under Pinrai Vijayan. Note this carefully, the 21-member Council of Ministers is exactly at the Article 164, 1A, constitutional ceiling. Now, let us turn to international relations. India's MIA, that is the Ministry of External Affairs, formally released the outcomes of PM Modi's Gothenburg visit on 18 May. Six deliverables include the elevation to strategic partnership with a joint action plan 2026-2030, the India-Sweden Joint Innovation Partnership 2.0, cooperation in AI, 6G quantum, and critical minerals, a target to double bilateral trade in 5 years, an SME and startup platform, and the Tagore Sweden Lecture Series, also known as Vikas Bhi Virasat Bhi. Crucially, Modi was conferred Sweden's Royal Order of the Polar Star, his 31st global honour. Building on this, PM Modi arrived in Oslo on 18 May for the third leg of the India-Nordic Summit, with the first being in Stockholm in 2018 and the second in Copenhagen in 2022. He met King Harald V and held bilateral talks with PM Jonas Gahr Støre, focusing on areas such as renewable energy, Arctic cooperation, maritime cooperation, and digital public goods. It is worth pausing here to note that Norway's government pension fund Global, the GPFG, the world's largest sovereign wealth fund with approximately $1.7 trillion, has invested around $28 billion in Indian capital markets. With that background in place, let us look at the cultural significance of 18 May. This day is observed annually as International Museum Day since 1977 under the International Council of Museums, ICOM. The 2026 theme, Museums Uniting a Divided World, coincides with ICOM's 80th anniversary and links to UN SDGs 10, 16, and 17. And here is something that surprises many students. India has over 1,000 registered museums, with the Indian Museum in Kolkata, established in 1814, being the oldest in Asia. Remember this number, 1,000 plus registered museums in India. Now, let us turn to a critical health issue. The WHO, that is the World Health Organization, declared a public health emergency of international concern, FIC, on 17 May for an Ebola outbreak caused by the Bundi Bugyo virus in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Uganda. This is the 7th FIC in WHO history. As of 16 May, there were 8 confirmed cases and 246 suspected cases in the DRC and 2 confirmed cases in Uganda. No approved vaccine exists for this strain. India's risk is considered low, but airport screening protocols have been activated. Moving on to education, on 18 May, fresh Supreme Court petitions were filed seeking NTA, that is the National Testing Agency, dissolution and mandatory shift to computer-based testing. Petitioners include FAMA, the Federation of All India Medical Association, and the United Doctors Front. The NTA responded by announcing that NEET UG will shift to CBT mode from 2027 onward. The re-exam remains scheduled for 21 June 2026 in pen and paper format affecting over 22 lakh students who were impacted by 12th May cancellation. Now, let us look at the security and defense aspect. The Indian Army officially clarified on 18th May that the ceasefire following Operation Sindoor on 7th May 2025 has no expiry date and no DGMA level talks are scheduled. Pakistan's FM, Foreign Minister, Ishqdar had claimed the ceasefire was extended until 18th May, but India categorically rejected the framing of the ceasefire as a temporary arrangement. The understanding has held for 1 year since the DGMO talks of 10th May 2025. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE-20 engine is not relevant here, but we do have significant numbers: 102 seats won by the UDF in Kerala, 1,000 plus registered museums in India, $1.7 trillion in Norway's government pension fund global, and 22 lakh students affected by the NEET-UG cancellation. With these facts in mind, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? It is essential to remember the significance of these events, from the swearing-in of a new chief minister to international relations and health emergencies, as they can be crucial for your exams. In conclusion, these developments have significant implications for India's federal structure, international relations, and health security, highlighting the need for a comprehensive understanding of current affairs for your UPSC preparation. The interconnectedness of these events underscores the importance of staying informed about national and international news.